In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It is tempting for us to think that Reformation is about Martin Luther, the 95 Theses he penned, the pounding of his hammer on the Castle Church in Wittenberg. It is tempting to think it is about that staunch monk who stood before the greatest authorities of his day and refused to recant. He would not take back what he had written, for his conscience was bound solely by the Word of God. He could not submit to the Roman Church. The Word of God was clear. So change was in the air. Politically, yes, but that's really of minor importance. The Church's teachings changed. Not progressing forward and moving onward, but going back to what the Scriptures had taught and what the Apostles had written. So it is attractive for us to romanticize about the boldness and courage and genius of Luther, to remember his willingness to die for this confession, to recall his concern for lost and burdened consciences, and to take pride just a little bit that we call ourselves Lutherans, following in his footsteps. We like this day because we think it means that we are right and everyone else is wrong. So it is tempting for us to think that the Reformation is about Martin Luther, because if it's about him, then it's not too hard to make it about me either. But if you think this day is about Luther, repent. If you think this day is a celebration of the great things Luther did for the church, then also repent. We are not celebrating Luther. The Reformation is not about him or what he did. It's about the grace of God, the grace of God that was revealed through the sermons Luther preached. It's about the grace of God that set sinners free from the terrors of conscience and the pains of hell and brought them into eternal dwellings. To say it simply, the Reformation was about Christ, what he did, and what he continues to do for us today. So if we put the emphasis anywhere else except on Jesus, then we have missed the point of Luther's writings, and we have missed the point of the Reformation itself. But that is what we want to do. We want to pat ourselves on the back as if by our own strength and boldness and courage and intelligence we hold on to this Word of God, while so many others let it filter between their fingers. We want to take pride in who we are and what we do for the church as well. We want to boast that we are multi-generational Lutherans, perhaps second, third, fourth, or fifth. And so we fall into the trap that the Jews in Jesus' day did, taking pride in our lineage. We want to view ourselves as the ultimate authority on Scripture, because our parents knew it, and our grandparents knew it. And we ourselves were confirmed in this or that Lutheran church. Never mind, we can barely recite the Ten Commandments or the Apostles' Creed anymore. There is no difference, St. Paul says. There is no difference between us and them. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no difference between us and those political presidential candidates. All have sinned. Just because our sins are private doesn't mean they are somehow less to God. And if we were thrust into the public eye as severely as they are, and they went back 20, 30 years into things we said and did, trying to find something, what would they dig up on us? Sinful pride oozes from our pores as we fancy ourselves better than others, better than those other Catholics or Christians who don't really know the full words of God like we do, especially when it's so clear. And so we forget grace. By grace alone we have this Word of God. By grace alone we believe this Word to be God's Word and our only hope of salvation. It's by grace alone. We forget grace, and so we forget Christ. No one is pleasing to God because they're a multi-generational Lutheran. No one is pleasing to God because they bought an indulgence or made a decision for Christ. Faith alone makes one pleasing before God. Faith alone, because faith doesn't look at itself and the great things that we have done. Faith doesn't focus on a person, it focuses on Christ. Faith always looks outward at what he has done for us. His holy life is the reason that you are holy. His perfect death is the reason God is pleased with you. You are justified in Christ alone, by grace, through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, a gift that God continues to pour out on you in word and sacraments. So your history doesn't matter. Let them go 20, 30 years into our past. Who you are and what you have done doesn't matter. All that matters is who Christ is and what he has done for you. This is what we celebrate this Reformation Day and really every day, what Christ has done for us. This is why we sing those Reformation hymns with joy and zeal, because it focuses on him and not on us. It's about Christ, his boundless love for us, his mercy for us, his grace and his forgiveness for us that set people free in Luther's day and that continues to set us free today. Christ for you is the greatest cost. Worth thousands of times more than all the silver and gold the world could hold. The sinless Son of God in your place. Christ for you is the greatest gift. The sinless Son of God fully and freely given to you. And so the Reformation wasn't simply a return to believing the Word of God as being inspired. The Word of God was a return to the Word of God, who has taken on human flesh and blood like us. It was a return to Christ and to that pure preaching of Christ crucified for us. Yet even today, that gift, that precious gift that we hold in our trembling hands, that gift is still abused, misunderstood, and forgotten. Even within Lutheranism. In Luther's day, it was indulgences. In our day, it's supplanting word and sacrament with emotional highs and feel-good stories. Either way, it's about works and not about grace. The church constantly needs to return to Christ, for souls are not added into heaven because of an indulgence or a decision for Christ, but solely through the waters of holy baptism. Souls are not saved from hell because of a monstrance or a relic or a pilgrimage or a monastic vow or even because of our good works that we have done. But souls are saved from hell by the blood of Christ, blood which is now set before you this day. And God does not forgive you because you're kind and loving and compassionate and try your best, which you do. But he forgives you fully, solely for the sake of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And God does not call you his beloved son because your parents were Christian, but solely by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, the greatest gift that God could possibly give to you, poured out on you through that word. It's not about men. It's not about Luther and the great things he did or that God did through him. It's about Christ and how he continues to protect and defend his church through that holy word. And by grace, God has given you ears to hear that word and to believe that it is the only source of your salvation. Without the word of God, or without faith, the word of God simply becomes another book on moralistic living. Without faith, we look past Christ, even if we read the scriptures, we look past him to see only ourselves and what we are to do. Without these ears of faith, we do not fear, love, and trust in God at all. Without the ears of faith, we cannot hear the voice of our good and tender shepherd. Without ears, we know only what dances around in our minds and in our thoughts. And it is always self-serving. What are my likes, my dislikes? What do I want from a church, from a town, from a country? The Word creates and sustains faith. So back to the Word. back to Christ, who alone is revealed in that word for your salvation. As Martin Luther took his stand on the word of God, so too do we stand on that word of God. It is our only hope, for Christ alone is it. He is our mighty fortress, our trusty shield, and our conquering weapon. This, dear friends, is why we treasure the word so much. That word is our salvation because that word has won our salvation by his death. The Reformation was not a return to the bare words of God. The Reformation was a return to Christ, who is the living word, who is the living gospel. And look at the great and wonderful things that he accomplished in Luther's day. Look at the great and wonderful things that Christ continues to accomplish in our day. Souls are saved from hell by Christ and by Christ alone. It's a return to him. And so the Reformation is a return to receiving Christ in holy absolution. The Reformation is about receiving Christ in holy baptism to wash away all our sins, past, present, and yes, even future. The Reformation is about receiving Christ in the Holy Communion, a wonderful supper that is once again set before you today. It wasn't about a theological debate or cultural differences or progressing the church forward. It was pastoral. It was concerned with lost and hurting souls who continue to struggle with this world and setting them free through Christ and through him alone. That is how we celebrate the Reformation. It's really not by remembering the facts of history. That is beneficial, and I encourage you to learn them. But we properly celebrate the Reformation by confessing what Martin Luther and the rest of the church has always confessed, unchanging. We are a poor, miserable sinner, lost and condemned creature. This is what we are by nature. There was no hope for us, nothing that we could do to set ourselves free from the devil. Until Christ came. Until the Word took on human flesh to die our death for us. Until he gave us a new heart that loves and seeks to serve God, so bounded and cemented to the Holy Spirit it is. We cannot help but to live in love for him and for one another. That Christ stole us out of the kingdom of the devil and brought us into his kingdom. Again, it's what he has done for you. So let us continue to celebrate the Reformation by receiving Christ in this Holy Supper. For today truly is a feast day. It truly is a celebration of Christ's victory for us and the free and full forgiveness Christ continues to give to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.